The Rambam's psak that Tchilas and Lavan are a single mitzvah, and that is in spite of the fact that Tchilas is not ma'akiv the Lavan, and Lavan is not ma'akiv the Tchilas. Nonetheless, they are a single mitzvah, and that seems to be the consensus of opinions in the Rishonim. Boaz asked, what difference does it make whether it's one mitzvah, or whether it's two mitzvos, or whether it's multiple mitzvos? In the end of the day, what difference does it make? And to date, I have found three places where the Rishonim discuss what difference does it make, how many mitzvos do you have in Tcheles and in Lavan. I want to just start to survey the first of those differences today, and the other ones perhaps we'll discuss when they come up in the Gemara. So in order to understand that, I want to read the Mishnah together. On Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, the beginning of the fourth parak of Menachos, the Mishnah says, HaTcheles Eina Me'akeves Es HaLavan. The Tcheles doesn't hold back the Lavan. The HaLavan Eino Me'akev Es HaTcheles, and the Lavan doesn't hold back the Tcheles. You can fulfill the mitzvah, you can grasp the opportunity of one, even if the other one is absent. Tefillah shel yad eina me'akeves es shel rosh. If you're missing the tefillah shel yad, that doesn't hold back, doesn't prevent you from seizing the opportunity of getting the mitzvah of tefillah shel rosh. And shel rosh eina me'akeves es shel yad, the tefillah shel rosh, if you're missing that one, doesn't hold you back from taking the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillah shel yad.
Did Korach ask Moshe Rabbeinu if you have a whole tzitzis is full of tchelet, do you need Lavan? And he said, yes, you still need Lavan. So how come it says over here that Lavan is not, tchelet is not ma'akev Lavan? It is ma'akev Lavan.
It means that if you couldn't find any white strings, you could put on four tchelet strings or two tchelet strings. If you can't find any blue strings, you can use two or four white strings. But the ideal in all situations is to have some blue and some white. So ma'akev means in like the last ditch situation. If there's nothing else to be done, like we have nothing else to do, we don't have tcheles, so we're allowed to wear the lavan without the tcheles.
What about the opposite way? If you have old tcheles and you don't
right,
have
right, so if you can't get any lavan, so then you would be able to wear tcheles. That's the inverse. Ha-lavan eino ma'akev es ha-tcheles. Because he was talking about the ideal, not the last ditch situation. The ideal. So when we talk about the tefillah shel yad and the tefillah shel rosh, let me ask you a question. Right, perhaps this is familiar. If you can't get a tefillin shel rosh, should you put a tefillin shel yad on your head? Is that what the Mishnah means?
No.
That if you can only find two shel yads, so you put one shel yad on your hand and one shel yad on your head, or vice versa. If you can't find any shel yads, you put a shel rosh on your head and a shel rosh on your hand. Is that what the Mishnah means?
No.
When it says that the shel rosh is not ma'akiv the shel yad and the shel yad. So what does the Mishnah mean?
It means if you only have one, so
you just do the one without the other.
No,
so now let's take a look at the beginning of the Mishnah. Tcheles is not ma'akev es halavan. What should that mean if the two of them are parallel, the tefillin and the tzitzis? If the two of them are parallel, what should it mean that the tcheles is not ma'akev the lavan? That if you're missing tcheles and you have an abundance of lavan, what should you do?
You put it on without the tcheles.
Right. So in other words, let's say
lavan.
Let's say that you're supposed to have two strings of lavan and two strings of tcheles. You can't find the tcheles. So what should you? How many strings should your tzitzis have?
Should have four.
Should not.
Four of white.
Oh, no. Normally you would say it should have two.
Should have four of white, no?
Four of white. You have four.
If you can't have tchelet, then you should have any color.
Let's do the arithmetic. Right? By tefillin, right, there's tefillin shel rosh, tefillin shel yad. Each of them are half. Right, so if you're missing one half, you don't replace it, you just do the other half. So the tzitzis also, you've got two halves of tzitzis. Half the tzitzis is tcheles, half the tzitzis is lavan. If you don't have one half, should you replace it, right, or should you simply do the other half?
So today,
so that's the question.
We have three strings, we have four strings.
No, but the question is...
So just by looking at the symmetry of the Mishnah, by looking at the symmetry of the Mishnah, you would expect that in the absence of tcheles, we should only have two strings.
Two of white.
That's the opinion of the Baal HaTosfos, that the Mishnah would seem to indicate that you're only supposed to have two strings of white, not four strings of white. That's what we're just reading the Mishnah. Right? The Mishnah says if you're missing half the mitzvah, then do the other half. Right? That's what it said by tefillin. So that's what it should be telling us by tzitzis as well. If you're missing half the mitzvah, then do the other half. It doesn't say replace the half that you're missing. It says do the other half if you're missing a half. That's what Tosfos seem to say. However, Tosfos acknowledge that that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says that there's a difference. By tefillin, if you're missing half the mitzvah, then just do the other half. By tzitzis, if you're missing half the mitzvah, then you should replace it right, with a substitute white for the tchilas that's missing. Tosfos acknowledged that that was the prevalent custom in Ashkenaz, and they ultimately say that that's what we should do, but they say it's not consistent necessarily with the reading of the Mishnah. Now, Tosfos' acknowledgement that we should do what we're doing is very, very difficult. And the reason that it's difficult is because we know, if you look at source number one on the second side of this sheet, there's a pasuk in the Torah. The pasuk actually appears twice, and that pasuk says, "Lo sosifu ala davar asher nochi mitzaveh eschem." You're not supposed to add on anything to God's mitzvos. So, if the mitzvah is that you're supposed to have two lavan and two techeles, and we don't have the two techeles, so we should have the two lavan. Now, maybe by adding on an extra two white strings, perhaps we're violating the prohibition against lo tosifu. We're adding on, we're creating our own mitzvah, so to speak. What's the precedent, right, for doing something, for putting in more white strings than God told us to in the Torah? And that question... That's the machlokas that we're going through today. We're going to go through that machlokas. So if you look at source number 3, you'll see that this question is most explicitly articulated by the Mardechi, Rabbi Mordechai ben Hillel, who perished al Kiddush Hashem in the late 14th century. And he writes, Tema, I'm not sure who this Reish Tzadi is, but his Rebbe, whose name began with the Tzadi, says, Tema al minogenu, I'm astonished at our custom, Sha'anu osin dalid chutin, we make four strings, Shehin Ches, which when you double them over are eight, the Amai, why are we doing this? Medin, right, just by the letter of the law, lo haya lanu lahatil ela beis shein dalet. We should only put in two, which are four. Kineged alavan, that's what's left to us. We got the white part of the mitzvah. That's all that's left to us. Lefirish Rashi zal, and he says ve'adiraba, just the opposite. Kevon she'ina techiles me'akev es alavan. Since you don't need the techiles to fulfill the lavan, haya yoser nachon la'asos beis chutin. It would be more appropriate to only have two strings. Dehashta, because now that we put in four strings, ikol mechash the Baal Tosef. We have to be concerned about adding on something to the mitzvah of the Torah. So that's a very difficult question that the Mardechi asks. Now, there were some people who suggested, and this is already in Tosfos as well, that Rabbi Arfi alluded to, that pointed out that perhaps the Torah meant that the number of strings on the tzitzis should just be a minimum. It's meant as a minimum, not as a maximum, and so you can always add on. The Torah just said don't have fewer than two strings. Now, this shaila appears, or a permutation of this shaila appears, in the Rashba, except that whereas we understand that you're supposed to only have two which are four white strings, the Rashba understood that you're supposed to have eight which are 16, and total of Tchilas and Lavan, he felt you should have 16, which are 32. And so he got this interesting Shiloh, which is mind-boggling, right? If all you do is look at what we do nowadays. In source number 2, he says, Sha'alta, you asked me, Bishloshim u'shnayim chutin shabat tzitzis, the 32 strings of the tzitzis, v'chein be'esrim ksharim, and the 20 knots that we tie, im hosif al minyanon im hi pasol. Does it invalidate the tzitzis if you have more than the 32 strings and the 20 knots? So the 32 strings and 20 knots, they say Rabbeinu Bechaye talks about it in Parashat Shlach, what exactly the symbolism is. I'm not sure exactly where it comes from. Or, says the Rashba, Oshin Omar, or perhaps we should say, She'in lem shiur lemala, that there's no upper limit, which is what I quoted to you outside in the name of Tosfos, no upper limit, just a lower limit. Kimo b'shlosha hadassim shalolav, just like the hadassim in the lulav, where the Torah says that you're supposed to have pre-eitz hadar, kapos tamarim, anaf eitz avos, ve'arvei nochal, so the anaf eitz avos, the Gemara says, means three. But it seems to be universal that you're allowed to put in more than three hadassim, as the Lubavitchers do, and perhaps people from other groups as well, put in more than three hadassim in their lulavim, and that's universally acknowledged that it's okay. It's based on a Gemara in Masachas Sukkah. So perhaps we'll say that just like the Torah hints that we should have three, but that hint means a minimum of three, so too by tzitzis, the Torah hints that there should be whatever the number is, 2, 4, 32, but that only means a minimum, and there is no maximum. So to that, the Rashba writes, "Ma shehivesa raya she'eno pasul." You brought me a raya that tzitzis with more than 32 strings are not pasul. Vehivesa raya mehadas shemosifin alav ve'in zakum. You proved it to me from the hadassim, which you can add to the number three without any problem. He says, "Vaday ba'arba minin shebalulav amru b'gemar." The Gemara does say that the commandment of Baal Tosif applies to the four species of lulav. Sheyesh bahen mishum Baal Tosif, bein b'minon, bein shelo b'minon. It's possible to transgress the violation of Baal Tosif, whether it's shelo b'minon by taking a banana together with the other four minim, or whether it is b'minon by adding on extra more of one of the four species, more estrogim, more lulavim, more adasim, more aravos. The Gemara says that one does transgress Baal Tosif. So what about the place where the Gemara says that you don't transgress it if you add on hadasim? He says, "Elo shebehadas ein bo mishum Baal Tosif." When it comes to hadasim, there's no Baal Tosif. Mepnei shehui lenoi, because it's an adornment. It makes the lulav look nicer. The chal lina'oso mutar. We know there's a mitzvah of hidur mitzvah, so that's not a transgression of Baal Tosif. It's rather a fulfillment of hidur mitzvah. However, anything that you add on to the arba minim, which is not a hidur, which is not a noi, which doesn't make him beautiful, would be a violation of Baal Tosif, even if it is one of the species. An extra lulav, for instance, might not make the species look nicer, and that would be a violation of Baal Tosif. The Rashba is assuming that extra strings in the tzitzis do not make the tzitzis look nicer, and therefore he says that the prohibition of Baal Tosif would apply with equal force to extra strings in the tzitzis, and there's no way that you could add more than the number that the Torah specifies. Now again, the Rashba seems to understand that the Torah specified 32, as the best of our understanding is that the Torah specified 4. Well, where does this come from?
Maybe if he... Maybe if what he's saying, 32, is really 4 times, which is double, is 8, times 4 is 32.
Okay, so the question
total.
Really
he's
is...
Talking about total. He's talking about total. The total foot.
32 and one canaf.
No, no, 32 of all of them.
That's what it looks...
Okay, so let's take a stop for a second. If you look at the parsha where tzitzis is written, does the Torah ever say anywhere how many strings we should use?
No.
Not explicitly.
No.
Right? It just says, So the only thing we can do is we can ask, perhaps somewhere else in Torah Shebichsav, the word pesil indicates a certain number of strings. Or perhaps the word gedil or gedilim in Torah Shebichsav indicates a certain number of strings. That might tell us something about the number, but it's definitely not explicit, the number of strings that we should use. And so a lot of the controversy is going to center over the proper interpretation of the words pesil and of the word gedilim, and what exactly do those mean. And you can see already the beginning of this controversy, going back to source number 3, after the ellipsis, where the Mardukhi himself gives an answer. He says, "Yesh lomar, I could answer you, d'mishum hachi leis b'mishum Baal Tosif, for the following reason, there's no problem of Baal Tosif, afilu yatil ba harbei chutin yoser mitineim, even if you put in many more strings than you're supposed to. Lefi," he says, "because shegedilim ksiv," the pasuk just says gedilim. What are gedilim? Mashma harbe. Right? The plural of gedilim doesn't mean a specific number. It means gedilim, plural. So plural could be 2, plural could be 4, plural could be 6, plural could be 8. The Torah just says gedilim. So 100 gedilim are just as much gedilim as 2 gedilim or as 4 gedilim. Gedilim ksiv, de mashma harbe, v'chein tzitzis. What are tzitzis? It may be, right, that was our discussion yesterday, is it tzitzis or tziyot, plural? The Mardukhi seems to understand, not like Mr. Ben Chaviv said, that tzitzit is a plural, but again he says, plural could be a big plural or a small plural, right? So, you know, you could win by a big plurality or a small plurality, could be big or small, the mashma harbe.
One is a plurality.
Many. One. Okay.
Tzitzis. But isn't tzitzis one, though?
Yeah, so that's what we discussed yesterday. I'm not...
It also, the scalp, you know, it's one.
Tzitzis is one.
In pure grammatic and understanding, tzitzit is... singular.
Yeah, I would have said
tziot is
right. not knowing Dikduk at all. I would have said that the proper word would be tzitzat, right? But tzitzat rosho, right, would be singular, and tzitzit rosho, I would think, is plural when it comes to describing, you know, the dreadlocks or the fuzz or whatever it was, you know, that the Chezkel HaNavi had on his head, right, at the time, right? But I would have thought that tzitzat would be the tzitz shell, and tzitzit would be the tzitzin shell, right? So if that is the origin of tzitzis, then tzitzis are plural. At the same time, though, right, tzitzit in Chamisha Chumshei Torah seems to be employed as a proper noun, almost. Yeah. Although that's not true. Right, because the word is al tzitzis hakanaf. Right, so again, if it was singular, it would be tzitzat hakanaf, and plural maybe is tzitzit hakanaf. But at the risk of getting too involved, I'll tell you that when we use the word tzitzit together with kanaf, it's not the same as using the word v'hayalachem the tzitzit. Right, because the structure of the parsha is that there's something called a tzitzit hakanaf, which means the edges of the garment, and then vayalachem the tzitzit. That tzitzit is a proper noun. The former tzitzit, right, is simply a regular noun, the tzitzit hakanaf, and then the latter one is the mitzvah of tzitzis, which is a proper noun, and that's reflected in the targum of Yonasan ben Uziel, who translates the word tzitzis differently in those two instances. So the tzitzis, which is the mitzvah of tzitzis, we still don't know exactly whether it's singular or plural, so let's leave that as an open question. The Mardukhi seems to be understanding that the word tzitzis is plural and not singular, and therefore he says that it means mashma harbe, it means many, but there's no limit to how many the many is. So,
how many corners
you need? Well, the tzitzit hakanaf, I mean the corners or the edges of the garment, doesn't specify number of corners at that point. And then later, Vayalachem the Tzitzis is referred to the actual strings that we put on the Tzitzis HaKanaf.
But once you have four corners, then it's four tzitzis, right?
Yeah, but we're talking about the number of strings.
Not the number of
braids, exactly. So now the Mardukhi alleges that there's no indication in the Torah of how many. Certainly of how what the upper limit of strings are. However, if you look, there's a Gemara that does seem to tell us how many strings we should put in our tzitzis. The Gemara does seem to think that the plural of tzitzis and of gedilim indicates a very specific number, and that Gemara, we'll see it when we get to it in the Gemara, but it's also quoted by the Levush in source number 4. The Levush writes, that's Rav Mordechai Yaffe, and he writes, Minyan achutin, srichin lihiyot la'olam shmona. There always has to be 8 strings in tzitzis, shehem arba kefulim, which is 4 strings doubled over, velo pachos, and no less. The Yalfinan law says the Levush, we learn this out in Meseches Menachos, daf lamed tesamad aleph, midichsiv, gedilim ta'aselach, you should make for yourself braids, gedilim, lashon rabim, it's plural. The loksiv gedil, it doesn't say a braid, it says braids, v'amrinon, and from there we learn gedil shnayim, you can't braid a single string, you need at least 2 to twine them together, and so a gedil would be 2 strings, a double helix, if you will, and gedilim means a pair of helixes, which means 4. So from there, we get the idea of 4 strings, and that's the Gemara telling us that gedil would mean 2, and gedilim means 4.
But the word gedil means braiding.
Something along those lines, yes.
So therefore you would need 2 to braid. Is that the
idea? A minimum of 2, yeah. Now again, like nowadays you think of a braid and you can't imagine a braid with less than 3. right? So there may be such an opinion of Beis Hillel, but apparently braid in English is not the same as braid in Hebrew. Hebrew, a braid might just be a twist that'll work also.
Okay.
So that's the Gemara does seem to specify then. It's not just plural, generic plural that could be any number. The Gemara specifies, Gidilim indicates four some things, presumably four strings doubled over, which make eight. So that sort of is a difficulty for the Marduchi, who's appealing to the generic plural. The Gemara interprets the plural as being not so generic. So the Levush suggests a different reason why maybe we're allowed to have four white strings, even though that's two more, right, than we're supposed to have. And he tells us the following. He says, Tosfos was appealing to the symmetry of the Mishnah. Tfilin is two objects. Each one is half. And if you're missing one half, so then you just do the other half. Tzitzis is Tchilas and Lavan, two objects, right? And so if you're missing one half, you should just do the other half. You don't replace the half that you're missing. That's assuming that Tfilin and Tzitzis are symmetrical. But we just learned in the Rambam that Tfilin is how many mitzvos?
Two mitzvos.
And Tzitzis is how many mitzvos?
One.
So isn't it possible that one mitzvah of tefillin, the mitzvah of tefillin shel rosh, can't stand in for the mitzvah of tefillin shel yad, because they're two separate mitzvos, right? They're different from one another. The objects are different from one another. That's the emphasis of Rabbi Avram ben Arambam. That's the emphasis of the Leiv Sameach. They may have the same parshios, right? But the manufacture of the batim is very, very different. So you can't simply replace one with the other because they're different mitzvos and they're different chafatzim. In contrast, right, you might say that the tcheles is one color and the lavan is another color, but the fact that they're all part of one mitzvah, right, says the Levush, that indicates to us that they are able, to a certain extent, to cover for one another. They're part of the same mitzvah, therefore they have more of an affinity for one another, and therefore the Lavan can stand in for the Tcheles. So even though the Mishnah seems to set up this symmetrical model, but based on our prior knowledge about Tzitzis and Tfilin, we know that they're not symmetrical to one another, and perhaps that asymmetry reflects itself as well, right, in the meaning of what it means for one to not be ma'akev the other one. So let's see that inside. I'm reading the second underline. He says, "Ein lefarish ha de ein ma'akvin zeh zeh." You shouldn't explain that when we say they're not ma'akev one another. Hainu lomar she'im ein lo beis haminin ela echad mehem, that if you don't have both the tzit, the lavan and the tchilas, all you have is one. All you have is love. Mean that you have alone and not supplement or replace the other one. In the same way, without adding, the same way that you would have taken it had the other one, the tchilas, been present. And we do say that by tefillin, he says, she'ein ma'akvin zo ezo, ve'ezo she'yeshlo, whichever one you have, mivareich aleha levada, you should make a bracha on that one alone. You might say, hachinami ne'omer ga'hacha gabi tzitzis. Perhaps you should say here too, by tzitzis we should say this, she'im ein lo tcheles, lo yikach ela shnei chute lavan. If you don't have tcheles, then you shouldn't take two extra ones, lamar o shiva lamar vivareich aleha. Says the Levush, and this is the key line, dishani hasam. There it's different. Tefillin is different. The shtei mitzvos saying there are two mitzvos. V'i efshar l'kayim shteihem ba'achas. You can't fulfill two mitzvos with one chafza. The reason that there's two objects, two different types of manufacture, is because each one is separate. Each one is irreplaceable. Aval hacha chada mitzvahi. But over here, the tzitzis are a single mitzvah. So that's nafkamina number one, the difference that it makes. If they were two mitzvos, so then we might have had to conclude that Tosfos are correct and that we should only be wearing four strings and not the eight strings that we wear. But because it's one mitzvah, we're able to replace the tcheles, which is missing, with lavan. So that's the solution of the Levush. Again, so we have the problem articulated by the Mardechai. The Mardechai says we're potentially transgressing Baal Tosif. The Mardechai's own solution is that the language of the Pasuk is just generic plural, and therefore you can have, there's no upper limit. the Rashbo and the Gemara already suggested that there may be, yes, an upper limit for tzitzis. So the Levush is suggesting that perhaps we can, at the very least, we can replace the tchilas with lavon without worrying about Baal Tosef, because the affinity that they have for one another means that one can fill in for the other one. There is a third solution as well to this difficulty, and that solution is contained in the Beis Yosef. Somebody asked, I forget who it was yesterday, about the number of strings that are supposed to be dyed blue and the number of strings that are supposed to stay white. And over here there's a controversy, a three-way machlokas between Tosfos, the Rambam, and the Ravid. Tosfos say that we're supposed to have equal representation for the tchilas and equal for the lavan. So if we are supposed to have a total of eight strings, then lavan gets four, and the tchilas get four, which is why, right, Tosfos and the Mordechai both said, right, the Mordechai was from the tradition of the Baal Yatosos, he lived in the Franco-German area, and so that's why he said, we ought to be only doing two strings, which when doubled over are four, because the tchilas also had two strings, which doubled over meant four. That's how Tosfos, and Tosfos is getting that. He says, well, there's two parshios, the parsha of Gedilim Ta'aselach, that's the parsha of white, it doesn't specify the color. The parsha that we read in Kriyat Shema every day is Pesil Techeles, that's the blue. So presumably each parsha should get half of the votes. It's true that one parsha has many more psukim, right, than the other one, but it's more like the Senate than the House of Representatives. If you're a parsha, you get your two strings, and that's it. So the Tosfos suggests that we have to split evenly between the Tcheles and the Lavan, and each of them is going to get two strings, which doubled over are four. However, the Rambam and the Ravid both focus on the language of the pasuk. They say that what is a pesil? So that's also, pesil is an unusual word. Does the word pesil always mean one string, or could pesil mean also a twist rather than just a string? That's a discussion. But the Rambam and the Ravid both understand that pesil is singular, and the word pesil doesn't indicate a twist, it means a string, and therefore they say that there's supposed to be one string of tcheles, not just two. However, the Ravid says that what does a string of tcheles mean? How many strings are there in your tzitzis? How many strings are there in your tzitzis?
Four strings.
So for the Ravid, a string of tcheles means one out of four, one quarter of the tzitzis, which means when you double it over, you've got eight, right? So one quarter would mean two strings for the Ravid should be tcheles, right? One long string, right, which in the tzitzis in your garment looks like two shorter strings. That's how...
If they fold it over, you can't have one out of it.
If a string of a psil means a long string that you ultimately fold over, so then it can't mean one out of eight. However, right, the Rambam seems to read that when we talk about a psil techeles, we're not talking about one of the raw materials. Mm-hmm. Meaning the long strings that we double over. For the Rambam, it's not one of the raw materials, but it's one of the final products. So when you actually make the strings into the braid and the chulios and the ksharim, so then it looks like eight strings. The Rambam says that when we talk about the pesil techeles, we mean one of those doubled over strings, one of the eight.
You would have to dye
a half of a string. That's what the Rambam says. To dye a half of a string. Meaning, but for the Rambam, he wouldn't call that a half of a string. He would call that a full string, because when you look at your tzitzis, we happen to know how it's manufactured, but I'm sure if I show the tzitzis to a 5-year-old and I say, how many strings are there? But he would tell me eight. And then I would probably have to spend half an hour showing him how at the baguette they're doubled over, and if you reverse engineer it, you'll see that it really can only be four. But it looks like eight. So the Rambam says that the pesil techeles is based on the final product, not on the raw material. So it's one of the eight. That's what the pesil is that's supposed to be techeles. So the Beis Yosef makes the following observation. He says, for Tosfos, so if you take out the Tchelas strings and all that you leave is the white, so you have a self-sufficient white. You've got this, you know, the white that you would have had with the Tchelas, now you've got it without the Tchelas. You would have had two white joined with two blue, now you have two white alone. It's the same thing that you would have had with the Tchelas, just minus the Tchelas. For the Ravid, says the Beis Yosef, you can do the same thing, right? With the Tchelas, you would have had three white and one blue, and now without the Tchelas, you'll have the same thing, the three white minus the one blue. But, says the Beis Yosef, for the Rambam, that equation is impassable. Because with the Tchelas, you've got three and a half white and one blue, and if you take the Tchelas away and you just leave the white, so then what you're left with is three and a half white, but the half of a white is not going to last. Right, it's not, doesn't count for anything on its own. So you would have to say it's either three white, right, and nothing, right, or four white. So for the Rambam, says the Beis Yosef, we'll just round up. We're compelled to round somewhere in order to eliminate the fraction. So for the Rambam, the Beis Yosef says we'll round up. If you look at source number 5, the Beis Yosef says leha Rambam. Lo hayu matilin tchelas ela chut echad min hashmona chutin. For the Rambam, you only put one out of the eight strings as tchelas. The imkain, and therefore kishamatil lavan levado. When all you're doing is you're putting the white and you're leaving out the tchelas, tsarich lahatil shiva chutim lavan lepachos. You would need a minimum of 7 whites. The efshar tishmona chuti lavan bayi, and therefore it's possible that you can't just do 7 whites; that you need 8 whites. Velosagi b'shiva, and it's not enough to do 7 whites. Mipnei she'ena shvi'i omed ela imkain rosho aruch. The 7th string will only stay inside of the bundle if it's wide enough to be doubled over a little bit. She'ein nichpa le'asos chut shmini, and so therefore the Beis Yosef says for the Rambam you have to round up. Okay, so we have here basically 3 different methodologies for addressing this issue of Baal Tosif. You have, on the one hand, the Beis Yosef. He just says it's, you know, to take out the Tchelas and just leave the Lavan, it's not going to work. You'll never end up having this. You've got to round up. You have the Levush, who says, conceptually speaking, right, based on our knowledge of conceptually how the different parts of tzitzis relate to one another, so it's clear that you should be allowed to use the lavan to substitute for the tchelas. And then you have the Balei HaTosfos who make an appeal to the psukim. They say if you look at the psukim, so you'll see that they don't prohibit us from having a maximum number. There's no upper limit, there's only a lower limit. Now, I just want to take a second to address the problem that we had with that last approach that the Mardechai said, that it's a generic plural, and the Gemara seems to say that you need to have 8 strings. So Tosfos addressed this. I don't think I'm going to read this inside, but basically what Tosfos says is, when it says that you're supposed to have gedilim, that you're supposed to have, which the Gemara understands, gedilim means 4, which are 8, so that could mean one of 2 things. It could mean that you're supposed to have 4 that are 8, right, of the white strings. And then when the other parsha comes along and says, right, pesil tcheles, that means that you're supposed to give equal representation to the tcheles, which means 4 that are 8 of the blue strings. So that would be a total of 8 that are 16. Because right? Gedilim is a parsha of the white strings, so that tells you 4 white strings doubled over to be 8. Then pesil tcheles says, not that we take away from the white and give it to the blue, but rather we add on, we give equal representation to the blue, so I have another 4 blue, which are, another 4 blue, which are 8. And so then you would end up having 16. That perhaps, right, perhaps there's an option or an obligation to have 16 strings in the tzitzis. That, and so when we're wearing 4 white, which are 8, we're really just fulfilling the lavan without the tcheles. That's one suggestion that Tosfos makes, in which case it should be noted that the 4 lavan that we're wearing is not a replacement for the tcheles, Right? But rather, it's simply the maximum number of white strings that we're permitted to put on the tzitzis. Now, that's going to be very, very important in a couple of days to know whether the extra two whites are a replacement for the tcheles, or whether the extra two whites are simply going up to the maximum number of features that the lavan are allowed to have. Well, so that's also an interesting point. Tosos gives you two options. He says it's possible that the Torah is giving you a range. Right? We know that happens in many other places as well, that the Torah gives you a range of things. It's not as if there's no upper limit, generic plural, like the Mordechai is suggesting. The Rashba already proved to us, he says there are many sugyos which indicate that there is an upper limit. However, it's possible that it's not a single upper limit, but there's a range of strings that you're allowed to put into the tzitzis, and that range, as long as you're within the range, you're not violating Baal Tosef, but to go out of the range would potentially be a violation of Baal Tosef. And I think that Tosos explained that the way that we interpret this as a range is from the ambiguity. When the Torah wants to give us a single one-size-fits-all, it'll tell us very specifically this is how to do it. When the Torah wants to give us more flexibility, so then it'll tell us a number. In this case, it told us a number, four, which are eight, but it told us a number in a way that could be interpreted two different ways, and that wasn't meant that people should argue, right, whether this is the only right way or whether that's the only right way, say Tosos, but rather in this instance what it means is that both of them are potentially the right way, depending on what the particular tzitzis tire decided to do. He says, yeah, I'm at this number six, four lines from the bottom. So towards the beginning of the line, Tosfos will say, "Vitzarich lomar, tzadi lamid." Vitzarich lomar.
Where is it?
Four lines from the bottom.
Oh, four lines from the bottom.
Right, vitzadi lamid.
Yeah, tzadi.
Vitzadi lamid. Vitzarich lomar. You have to say, "Dekol zeh yesh b'mashmaus gedilim." Right, that all of this is implied by the word gedilim. Gedilim indicates four. Right, but that means iavid techeles velavon bein shneim dalad chutim. If you make four strings, right, the sum total of the techeles and the lavon, that's gedilim krina bay. We call that gedilim. You've got the four. In other words, that you took away two from the lavon and you gave them to the techeles. But iavid mikol chad vechad gedilim. But also, if you make four, right, of lavan and four of tcheles, could go in dalet chut in lavan and dalet chut in tcheles, gedilim nami kvina bay. That also we call gedilim, the ambiguity, the uncertainty of whether we're meant to split the four between the tcheles and the lavan, or whether we're meant that the four should be lavan and then there should be an additional four for tcheles. That ambiguity was deliberate to tell us that we have that range anywhere between four and eight of each is going to be kosher. That's the opinion of Tosfos, and therefore says Tosfos, the lav mosifu, that's not considered additional, that's not considered to be a violation of Baal Tosef. So these are the three basic approaches that we have to dealing with Baal Tosef. Now that's only one of what I said was three potential nafkaminas from whether it's one mitzvah or whether it's three mitzvos. And at this point we have a choice. I can either tell you the two other nafkaminas, or we could read onwards and we can do the other two as we get to them in the Gemara. Do we have a preference about what we should do? Okay, so let's read onwards, because it can get a little bit involved, and this way we'll get up to each of them as we're involved with them. So the Mishnah said that Techeles is not Ma'akiv Lavan, and Lavan is not Ma'akiv Techeles. And the Gemara asks, Lema Masnisin Delo Kerabi. Would someone... Lema? Translate Lema?
Let's say
that the Mishnah is not like Rabbi. Detanya, because we have a Braisa that tells us, Ureisem Oso, you should see it. Melamed Shema'akvin ze'ezeh, that teaches us that they are ma'akev one another. Divrei Rabbi, that's the opinion of Rabbi. So note that the Rambam and the Ramban and all the Rishonim use this word oso, singular, to indicate that they're a single theme, they're a single mitzvah. Rabbi just takes it a step further and says oso means that they're one unified object, and if it's missing a piece, So then you just don't have that object. It's all one unified part. Urisem oso. Vechachamim omrim, it's the chachamim who say that ain ma'akvin, that they're not ma'akev. So let's say that the Mishnah reflects the opinion of the chachamim and that it's not like Rabbi. Before the Gemara even gets to responding to this suggestion, the Gemara first wants to analyze the Braisa. Sometimes that happens, that you quote a really, really interesting Braisa, and we can't control ourselves. We got to analyze the Braisa before we return to respond to the question which prompted us to bring the Braisa in the first place. So the Gemara analyzes the Braisa and says, "My taima de Rabbi, what is the reason of Rabbi? What is the origin of his opinion in Chumash?" And to that, the answer is "Dichsiv Hakanaf." Again, the full pasuk is "V'astu lahem tzitzis al kanfei figdehem ledorosam v'nasnu al tzitzis hakanaf pesil techeles." You should place on the edges of the kanaf a pesil techeles. So the way that Rabbi seems to understand that is that the tzitzis hakanaf indicates that there's supposed to be some edges, right, some threads, so to speak, that are coming out of the kanaf. And from here he interprets that as min kanaf, that the tzitzis should be made to resemble basically like an unfinished end of a garment. Those are the tzitzis hakanaf, right, the unfinished ends of the garment, the stray threads that weren't, you know, tied up or cut off or sewn over with a hem. They should be the tzitzis hakanaf, and obviously if those are the original, the beginning of the tzitzis, they need to be made out of the same material or the same color material as the garment itself. So Rabbi understands that the word hakanaf indicates that the beginning or part of the tzitzis need to come from the same material or need to be of the same color as the garment itself. Min kanaf, and then it says iksiv pesil techeles. So the full pasuk is v'nasnu al tzitzis hakanaf pesil techeles. You should place on the unfinished edges of the garment a blue thread. So you've got the unfinished edges of the garment, you've got the blue thread that you're placing together with that, and then, finally, the Amar Rachmana, the Torah says, Uriisem oso, and you should see it. So even though at the beginning it's the tzitzis hakanaf, and then separately the psil techeles, yes, but the Torah indicates that both of them are one now, Uriisem oso, ad iko tarvayu bichar, until you've got the tray, the shnei, the two, together as one. So that's Rabbi's drasha, Uriisem oso, singular, somehow the tzitzis hakanaf and the pesil techeles merge into a single object, and that single object is deprived of its identity if you take away one of its two ingredients.
But doesn't Uriisem oso go on the pesil techeles? You should see the psil techeles.
Read the next line for us.
Yeah, yeah.
Read the next line for us, please.
Rabbanon.
That's always the Gemara's, you know, okay, and Mr. Madam Secretary, what do you say? Right, that's just turning to the other party to the debate and giving that party the floor. Rabbanon.
Rabbanon Urisem also kol chad lechudei mashma.
So you should see it. Means you should see the pesil techeles, and it means you should see the tzitzis hakanaf, but it doesn't mean you should see the fusion of the two of them. It means you should see it, and should see it.
Right. So the pesil. So it's not just on the pesil; it's also on the other, not on the techeles, but also on the white. But when it says Psil techeles, and then it says Uriisem oso. Wouldn't you think that Uriisem oso goes on the psil techeles only?
Maybe it's only going on the psil techeles.
But according to the Rabbonin, he's interpreting that it goes both on the techeles and the white. But the pasuk seems to psil techeles Uriisem oso. You should see the psil techeles.
Right, and maybe that's how the Gemara is reading it, just that the Gemara understands that there's no reason to give the Tcheles priority over the Lavan. And so if there's a mitzvah to see the Tcheles, right, so then there must be a mitzvah also to see the Lavan. Right? I think that, in fact, that's probably a better reading of the Gemara than the way that I was going to read it, right? Because I was troubled, actually, in the Gemara. It says, you should see it. So it means one. How can the Rabbanan say it means you should see it and you should see it? Right? You have to read it twice. So according to what Mr. Amster is saying, is that no, it means you should see it, you should see the Tcheles. But logic dictates that if there's a mitzvah to see the Tcheles, then there must also be a mitzvah to see the Lavan, because the two of them are parallel to one another. You're not going to discriminate against the Lavan, Chas v'chalila. The Lavan has more Kedusha than the Tcheles. The Lavan has its own power for symbolism. So if there's a mitzvah to see the Tcheles, then there must also be a mitzvah to see the Lavan. Or Isem Oso, Kol Chad, Lechudei, Mashma, each one is implied on its own that you should see the Tcheles, you should see the Lavan, but the Oso, the singular, is not referring to the combination, to the fusion of the two, but rather the singular language of the Pasuk is referring to only one of the two, or to each of the two, separately and individually. So Be'ezras Hashem, we'll pick up from here tomorrow.
Just last question. Doesn't it?